Let us read again our sermon text today. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The term witness is a common term in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament alone. It is used more than 200 times. However, in the sacred church history, there was an exponential growth of the witnessing, and those unique histories about witnessing are recorded in the Bible. Especially, there are so many inspiring stories of the early church mission in the book of Acts. The author of the book of Acts is Luke, the physician. And he started with recording the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. But eventually he did not stop there, but he went on to record the detailed stories of the beginning of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. His focal point in this sequel to the gospel is upon the Holy Spirit. The book itself is named after apostles, the book of Acts of the Apostles. But in actual fact, the Holy Spirit is the very driving force and person throughout this book. God repeatedly promised to pour out His Spirit on His people in the Old Testament. There are texts like Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, Isaiah 32, verse 15, Isaiah 44, verse 3, these texts already in the Old Testament emphasize the work and person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. But we see in Acts chapter 2 an unusual beginning point of the work of the Holy Spirit. Once throughout the redemptive history only. The promise of the Holy Spirit is fully accomplished on the 50th day, which is called the Pentecostal. After Pentecost, after the Passover in Acts chapter 2, when they were in one accord with one another. What is so amazing is that the Holy Spirit came very quickly after He was promised to be given. The Puritan Matthew Henry writes, "Between the promise of Messiah's coming, even the latest of those promises, and His coming, many ages intervened. But between the promise of the Spirit and His coming, there were but a few days." So this morning we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, marking how quickly such mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, and how we all need the Spirit's guidance and benefits as 21st century Christians. Based on Acts 2:4, the theme this morning is the Holy Spirit for the Christian witness. We'd like to consider 3 points under this theme. First, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Second, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Third, the continual works of the Holy Spirit. Everyone, including everyone in this room, you and I, needs the Holy Spirit every moment. The Holy Spirit is the enabling person in the Godhead in a special way. He's the Spirit. There is no limit for Him to move through barriers, through space, throughout time. He has such special work to be with His people in times of sorrow, deep sorrow, in times of hardship, in times of suffering and tribulation, in times of loneliness, in times of confusion. The Spirit can go anywhere, wherever. He actually enables us to move on by faith in Jesus Christ. There are some promises that need to be filled right away, fulfilled right away, and completely. But there are promises that need to be fulfilled again and again. Yes, there was one point of starting seeing the fulfillment in our lives in a small scale, but the promise need to be brought again and it needs to be fulfilled in a new way. As we go through our lives, there is a new season. Like graduation takes place. Like you lose your loved one. You begin new beginning and you need the Spirit's new fulfillment in your life. God said through Prophet Joel about the Holy Spirit. Notice at verse 17, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Verse 18, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. Verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God promised the Holy Spirit. And now, at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, we hear how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples, especially verses 1 to 4. There were, on that day, the visible signs on the sky and the audible signs in which they can hear the sound. They needed the Holy Spirit for witnessing. This necessity of the Holy Spirit is always with any believer when they testify of Jesus. But it was more so for the disciples in that they were the nucleus. They were the core members at the right beginning. And from them, the good news will spread forth, starting with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and beyond unto the end of the world. And they were right there at the beginning. And they needed the Spirit's guidance and leading. Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1, 7 to 8. The sound, it will start from one point. The one right next to him will hear better. The one farther away will hear a little small voice. The farthest away may hear faint sound. What about the one far away at the end of the world? Will they hear? We don't have any power to make that to be heard by them in ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that this good and great news can go forth farther and farther away. Jesus also said the night before he was crucified, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." John 15, 26, 27. The whole context of John 15 reveals that Jesus was going away from his beloved disciples. It would now be very sad because the disciples are left to themselves without the bodily presence of Jesus. Jesus could not visit them anymore the same way he used to do. In his body, in his loving eyes upon those loved ones' situations. But Jesus promised something very special. The Holy Spirit's coming. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke chapter 24. The gospel should be preached up to the end of the world. Someone as a witness should go according to the command of Jesus Christ. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." To do that, we need no more or no less than this, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. That's the only thing that we need. We need this promised dunamis power by the Holy Spirit. The whole community of Jerusalem church was about to spread forth the gospel, but they needed something for the task ahead of us. It would be a vain thing to go without the Holy Spirit, because Jesus told them to wait first. The unusual and sovereign outpouring of the Holy Spirit with power must come before they go out. The kind of works described throughout the book of Acts was only possible because of this beginning of the unusual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's right at the beginning of this book. William Carey, the missionary to India, said, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God." I, as a missionary, realized that without the Holy Spirit, we would never be able to attempt great things for God. How we need the Holy Spirit for any work, but especially the mission work. Many specific references could be given throughout the Old and the New Testament with respect to this need of the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit, but He is also a person whom we can know and whom we can listen to. He can grieve over us, especially when we sin. He can work powerfully in our community when we are in one accord and in one mind, while He is grieved when we sin. Jesus said the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit in John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, in spite of that mysterious work of the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, we see very outward and visible sign of the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is not easily understood, but we can find out some facts about this unusual act of God. This leads to our second point, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit before He ascended into heaven. And the Father gave the Spirit of God to His children soon after Christ's ascension. The Spirit is now come to the world mysteriously yet visibly and audibly and powerfully as a result of Christ's ascension into heaven. This is a general explanation of how Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, but I do not think that the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit could not be separated from the context of the whole community in Jerusalem. We are aware of the fact that we need the Holy Spirit individually, but what about as a community, as the body with Christ, as an organic community affecting each other's? We need to be together like those disciples were together in one accord on that day. They gathered in one place, men and women, disciples, apostles. In the first chapter, it says about 120 people gathered together one place to pray earnestly according to the promise. And so it continues in chapter 2. They were together in one accord on the same page. Even two people cannot walk together if they do not agree with each other. In our lives, it's so common that you one day agree with each other and you disagree. You cannot walk together. Especially in the political realm, we see through media, enemies one day become friends, and then enemies one day become friends, enemies again. It's changing. Like the time and season changes. But here we can see and mark that they were in one place together, but also with their heart to seek the Holy Spirit. Unity is such an essential mark of the work of the Holy Spirit. When people are united then all that they need to do is to ask God to send the Holy Spirit. In fact, the book of Acts records so many occasions of the Holy Spirit's work, but at the same time, Luke again and again uses this word in one accord. Just to list some, Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 8:6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Acts 15:25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. One accord. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will come. People could know by two things the arrival of the Holy Spirit. First, those gathered were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, second, they began speaking. The order is important here. First, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began speaking. Spurgeon says regarding this verse, men full of God are the reverse of men full of self. When a cup is empty, it is not satisfying to the man's needs. But when the cup is full of water, it is so refreshing and satisfying to the man who drinks out of it. Let it be to each one of us this morning. Let it be to this congregation every Sunday. Once they are filled with the Spirit, they begin to speak as the Holy Spirit moves them. What thing did they talk about in different languages? What was the content? People often mistakenly think that what they said was unintelligible words made up of gibberish beyond our understanding, or the fake words in strange sounds. But the text pericope of our sermon text today defines what was said was understood in various languages. So they spoke in different languages, but it was understandable which languages were they spoken. It was not just sound, meaningless sounds. It was languages spoken, understood. And even verse 11 says what was said was the wonderful works of God. We admit that this redemptive history according to God's perfect timetable would not be repeated the same way. As Jesus came into the world once in history, so the Holy Spirit came once into the Word in such a way, specifically in Acts chapter 2. It was a wonderful work of God, not wonderful work of man. This is truly God's work, which everybody can see and hear. There is limit to what man can do, so we know it's man's work. But here, what God can do is almighty. So it is wonderful and beyond our understanding. Those uneducated fishermen turned disciples, began to speak in foreign languages that they never spoke in their life before. It is wonderful work of God that He sent His only Son into the world for sinners like us, so that He may die and shed His blood for our sins. It is the wonderful work of God that a man can be born again through the Spirit. It is the wonderful work of God that a sinner can repent and be reconciled with God. It is all of God's work, not man. The wonderful works of God spoken in various tongues, languages in Acts 2 do not end in Acts 28. This leads to our final point. The continual works of the Holy Spirit. The various works of the Holy Spirit are described in a more detailed way toward the end of chapter 2. Especially verses 41 onward to the end of the chapter Acts 2. It shows those wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit. The spontaneous interactions between members of the Jerusalem church. They gladly received His word. Every Sunday, we do the same. We come to this church building to listen to the word of God. And we gladly receive the word of God as a hungry man and woman. We are rejoicing as the truth is explained clearly and brightly to our mind, and we are enlightened, and we can have the revived spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit in the Word. We can receive gladly. And then what happens after that? We received, and then we share with other people. First here together in this place, right here, when the Holy Spirit works in your own hearts, you have something to talk about after service. And you encourage your brothers and sisters in various circumstances and situations. And then you begin to share the materials, the properties that is in your power. Because you know that you received something much better than what you have. And then you can gladly give up what you have for the benefit of brothers and sisters in poverty and the needs. You don't need to be told what to do because you received and you gave away. They breaking bread together. Together. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, with gladness and singleness of heart. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23 list those nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. But they sound quite abstract unless those are put in the right context in the community. Especially like in the church where there are more than families. There are more than people from the same background. They are put together and they communicate with each other by that powerful work of the Holy Spirit. It is the wonderful work of God. We live in an age of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5, 6 says, "It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." So it is even said that we are writing the 29th chapter of Acts, not in literally, but in a symbolic way. Each of us in this room this morning is a witness in one way or another. Peter says at verse 32, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." We are witnesses together as a community to the birth of Jesus. We are witnesses together as a community to the death of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses together as a community to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this world. We are witnesses together as a community to the ascension of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of the Lords on this Sabbath day around the throne of God. We are witnesses by the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Lord even in this 21st century. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot become witnesses. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, as soon as Jesus gave His great commandment, and Jesus gives this promise, "Lo, I am with you always." In other words, Jesus is not with us as He used to be with His disciples 2,000 years ago. Jesus is with us by His Holy Spirit right now here. It would be impossible to do any work of witnessing without the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit alone can help us to represent Jesus Christ in heaven. Dear congregation, do we see the fruit of the Spirit in us, especially in our community? Do we see those descriptions in a certain measure in us, recorded in Acts 2:41-47. We should not block or withstand God when the sinners are brought to repentance everywhere. And when sinners are visibly brought to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, we should praise God for such work. There were people saying mockingly, "They are drunk with wine at 9 o'clock in the morning." But it was the work of God. Jesus could do the mighty work with the 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. But Jesus asked His disciples, "What should be done?" And watch them. And Jesus said, "Give ye them to eat." Matthew 14:16. Jesus then asked Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Why did Jesus ever ask that question? He could have just done the miracle without asking that question. But I think Jesus watched Philip's response. Oftentimes, the mission work is like that. The harvest to be made is vast. The laborers are very few. The two fishes and five loaves of bread are absolutely insufficient according to our human calculation. But what we should be careful is not to quench the Spirit of God in the process of approaching the mission matter. Rather, we should extol and exalt our Lord. We should go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, as David did in the fight against Goliath. The victory is promised, but shall we go? Shall we go in the power of the Holy Spirit to the mission field, to the neighborhood? Jesus promised, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, as you bring the good news there. We should make every effort not to grieve the Holy Spirit as He is a person. Ephesians 4:30 says, we need to let the Holy Spirit fill us before we begin to speak our own ideas and agenda. We need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. We may not have everything that we need to finish the work ahead of us, but still, we should not lose our hope. The Holy Spirit is the one who can fill us. He is the one who can fill us with the assurance of God's faithfulness. He's the one who can save us. He can sanctify us. The last prophet, yet the earliest witness of Jesus, John the Baptist, says, all of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. There is a group of professional people in medicine called the Doctors Without Borders. The statement they make is like this: we provide aid around the world because wars and diseases and disasters know no borders. That means they would go wherever, regardless of the national boundaries. I think that people really appeal to the urgency of the work of what doctors do and the universal needs as humans. What if the doctors could not go and help people suffering from the other side of the national boundary? Somebody may die. How about the gospel witness and mission work? It is more urgent as it deals with the eternity, not just some time here on earth. People not only may die, but also may go to hell. I know people suffering from the consequences of sins on the other side of the border. I know people suffering from the broken marriages on the other side. I know people suffering from the addictions on the other side. I know people worshiping idols on the other side without having the truth, having less touch and contact with the people in the pandemic days. People become more lonely. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. Somebody has to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10:11-15. There is no difference between them and us in that we all need to be saved by the same Lord and the Savior. No matter what kind of boundaries you may think of right now, it can be anything. It can be very tedious. If we are Christians saved earlier by God's grace, then they also must be saved. Your unbelieving children, your unbelieving spouses, your unbelieving parents, your unbelieving neighbors, especially those coming from a different background from yours, need also to be saved. It's difficult, I know, when you go and speak to a stranger on the street or when you met them first time. And Jesus is the Lord is the statement that you want to make in some part of conversation, and you started a conversation and you are running out of time because this person needs to quickly go, and you want to continue somehow that conversation to finally reach that statement, Jesus is the Lord, still in this 21st century. Jesus is still the shepherd. Jesus is the good, the living bread. Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. Jesus is truth in this 21st century. You want to say Christ is the Lord to that person that you began to speak. And I don't know what you think about at that very moment when you feel uneasy because time is running out, but I think of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who bears the witness with the truth. At the very moment right next to me, I almost wish that somebody else could come with me, two in one, so that we can make a better statement and witness to this person, so that we are in complete unity. We agree on this, and why don't you agree with us now as we are assured of this faith? Jesus is the Lord. I want you, literally, to share with your neighbors starting today, Jesus is Christ. You will never know what you need until you try out. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak about the wonderful things of God, not wonderful things of man. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen.